references there. I'm not going to insult your intelligence by some of them and read them for you, but they're there for you to look at. And the only one I want to emphasize is one about the blood drive. I've been asked to emphasize that because of the dire need of blood. So if you will help out in that area if you possibly can. Are there any other announcements? Anything that needs to claim our attention? Anyone has anything else? Senior adults, that's right, supper, the 31st. Sign up sheets in the vestibule if you'll sign up there. Just bring yourself. Anything else? Anything else? If you have your Bible tonight, I invite you to turn, please, to the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter. Gospel of John, the 9th chapter. In this chapter, Jesus confronts a man that was born blind. And his disciples ask him that question, says, who did sin, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither, but that the glory of God may be made manifest or made known in him. We want to pick up in verse 8 of that chapter because we see how people look at Jesus. How do you look at Jesus? How do you see him? What is there about him that is different? We know that there are many religions today, and some of them look at him as a prophet, and they recognize him as a prophet. Some even think he's some kind of religious guru. But how do you see him? How do you see Jesus? It's a good question, because it has a lot to do with how we respond to him. How we respond to him. There are other religions that recognize that he was a good man, an outstanding man, but yet that's not sufficient. So tonight we want to look together at this passage of Scripture. How do you really see him? Would you stand before the reading of the Word and remain standing for prayer? In John, the 9th chapter, starting in verse 8, it says this: the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Here's the problem. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? That he hath opened thine eyes. He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. By what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Let's pray together. Our Father, we bow in submission to you tonight, coming, thanking you for the privilege and opportunity of worship. thanking you, Lord, that we can gather on this side of eternity once again and worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray, oh God, that that's exactly what will happen. We pray that the adversary will be bound because we know he likes to come to church. And we pray, oh God, that you'll bind him so that the freedom of your word and the freedom of the message can be put forth, and Lord, that our hearts can be open and receptive unto every word of it. I pray, oh God, that now through the very presence of your Spirit, you would begin a work in each of our lives, that we would know and understand who Jesus really is. How do we see him? How do we look at him? And I pray, Father, tonight that you would make us keenly aware of the proper and the right way that we should see him as your children. I ask, Lord, tonight that you would just magnify and manifest him before us tonight. We pray, Lord, that you just work and do that which only you can. Even now, Lord, as an act of faith on our part, we're covenant together and praying, thanking you for what you're going to do. And above everything, Lord, we pray that you would conform us to his image and that we would be drawn magnetically to him in the bond of your perfect love, that love that transcends every problem, every issue, everything in this world. And I pray even now, Lord, that you'll grant that which we stand in need of in the strong and powerful and saving name of Jesus. Take these lips once again, Lord, and anoint them with the very presence of your Spirit and speak through them the truth and the word that you'd have us to know and to hear and to understand. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm telling you, I'm going to do something that's very uncouth. No, I can't do that because I got my thing in my pocket. Yeah, I can. I can put it in this pocket. It's already hot up here. I want to apologize for this morning because I lost track and I've never done that before except one time. But I've always gained it back, but I lost it this morning, couldn't gain it back, so I'm glad you bore with me. In this passage tonight, we're going to look at what they thought of Jesus, because we see the miracle that took place and how that Jesus had healed this man that had been born blind. This was a one-time experience, a one-time miracle, because it had never happened that way before. And that's in part of the scripture tonight before us. And as we look, we see that what transpired and what took place was this man that had been born blind, there was a question of who he really was. Some says, is this he that said and begged? Because that's what a blind man did. They said and they begged because they had no way of making any other support for themselves or their family, if they had a family. And so they said and begged, and they asked alms of those. And we see this man was said, well, yes, this is the one that said and begged. And the other said, well, it looks like him. And he says, no, it ain't. It don't look like him. He says, I am the one. I am the person. So we see that in the process of what took place, then the religious leaders picked up on this, and because the religious leaders picked up on this, Jesus automatically got into trouble. And the reason he got into trouble is because Jesus performed the miracle on the Sabbath day, and that was a no, 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 no. The reason for that being is this man, after he had spat on the ground and made the clay out of the spittle and put it on his eyes, and he told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. See, this man, as he went, he was carrying a burden and he broke the Sabbath law just because he had that clay on his eyes. In the Judaism, in the system of Judaism, those religious leaders took those Ten Commandments and they made 913 things that you could not do. Things that were in opposition to what the will of God was, according to, quote, their thinking. So what they did, they had bound the people to a ritualistic law, and because of that, they were bound to religion. And let me tell you something. Any person that is bound to a religion, they are a miserable person. But Jesus come to bring liberty and bring life. And what Paul talked about in Corinthians, not only liberty and life, but also those who respond to Jesus Christ, he made them in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And he's the one that brings about liberty and freedom. So we can look at this tonight and we can see that this man was set free so that he could be able to see. When I say he was able to see, that's exactly what took place. And so we see that then that those religious leaders picked up on it and all kind of things broke loose. But I want us to look at how did they see him? How did they see him? First of all, in verse 11, it talks to us, they saw him just as a man. Look in verse 11 with me. Therefore said they unto him, how were the blind eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. and I went and washed, and I receive my sight. Some saw Jesus just as a man. And there are many people today that that's the way they see Jesus, just as a common man, one who came on the scene, one who passed off the scene, and that's all there is to it. But let me tell you something, friend. He is more than just a man. He is and was the God-man, the very tabernacling of God among us and with us. That's what the promise was there in the book of Isaiah. His name shall be called Emmanuel. The term Emmanuel there means God with us, God tabernacle with us. Jesus came for that purpose, is to tabernacle or to dwell with those. And that's exactly why he came, so that he could understand humanity, he could understand mankind and all the problems that they have. There's no temptation taken unto you that has not taken Jesus Christ. And therefore, he was, they said, just a man. But there's more to it than that. Others said that he was a helper or a healer. Look in verse 13. It says this: they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was a Sabbath day when he made the clay and opened the eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he would receive the sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and do now see. Verses 13 through 15, we see that he was one who was a help to the healer. He was one who brought healing to this man. So he looked at him as a healer. They did not want to recognize him as a healer because he broke the Sabbath law. They did not want to recognize Jesus. If you read through the book of John, you see the confrontation of Jesus with the religious leaders of his day. I mean, everything that Jesus did, and let me tell you something, they also helped along the way, because they brought those individuals to before him, like the woman taken in adultery. There was the one man with the withered hand, they brought him. And what they wanted to do, they wanted to find something that they could accuse Jesus and make a definite accusation against him, so that they could prove to the world and prove to themselves that he was not the Messiah. He was not the promised one of God. But I got news for you, folks. He followed every jot and every tittle of the Old Testament prophecy. He fulfilled over 1,000 prophecies about him coming as the Messiah, the Son of God. And he fulfilled every one of those. And yet those religious leaders who had stooped themselves those many years in studying and called themselves knowing the Word of God, they missed out on who Jesus really was. And you know what? I'm afraid we've got a lot today that's going to do exactly the same thing. We've got a lot of people that I call them time setters. When I pastored in Salem, I received the book in the mail. It says 88 reasons why Jesus is going to come in 1988. And boy, he listed those things. He gave you good scriptural details and all that. And you looked all those up, and yeah, you could come to the conclusion, yeah, that might be it. I mean, I believe it is. But he did not come in 1988. We have those that are time setters. And I got news for you. I'm not pre-poster off from a standpoint of a millennial view, but I'm what you call a far millennialist. And when I say a far millennialist, I'm for him coming. Let me tell you something. He could come most any time he got ready to. Amen. When we try to prove, Jesus said we are to be ready, we are to be observant, we're to see the times and the season, and we're to recognize that he is coming. And I got news for you, he is going to come. And I believe with every fiber of my being, he could come in our lifetime. He could come in the next year if he wanted to. He could come tonight if he wanted to. Wouldn't have to apologize to anyone. And therefore, we need to be ready. That's what he said. He says to watch and to be ready. To look at the times of things that's happening around us, and we can see all those things. But see, the thing about it is he was more than just a helper or a healer. He was more than that. Even look at the third thing. It says that he was a sinner. He was a sinner. Look at verse 16. It says, Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Other says, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Look then also at verse 24. It says, then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Was Jesus a sinner? I got news for you. If he was a sinner, we're in a very, very serious problem. If he was a sinner, there is no salvation. If he was a sinner, there's no such thing as knowing God. Paul in Corinthians, he talks about those things, the things that are that they do not. If it's not there, it says if we just serve the worship God, we're of all men most miserable because we do not understand and recognize who Jesus really was. But he was not a sinner. He was one who came for the purpose to seek and to save that which was lost. He came for that purpose and that purpose alone. That's what Luke said in his gospel in Luke 19:10. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. When we look at that phrase very closely, you see Jesus came for that purpose to seek out the sinner, to seek those who are lost, and to save those who are lost. And Jesus gave a parable dealing with that when he talked about the sheep and those who were scattered abroad and those where they, Jesus as a great shepherd or the good shepherd, come to bring those sheep back to the fold. And he come first of all to the children of Israel. He came to the house of Israel, and they would not hear and heed. And so he went to the Gentiles and brought those and was bringing those that back into the family of God. And so we look, he was more than what it says here. He was not a sinner. He could not have sinned and been our Savior. Then they said he was a prophet in verse 16 and 17. He was a prophet. How can anyone do this unless he is a prophet? And that's what the terminology is. And there are a lot of people today that look at Jesus. Many religions today look at Jesus as a prophet. One who was different. One who, because of some things that he said, happened and come to pass, and therefore the term prophet was given to him. But let me tell you something. He was more than just a prophet. We look at him and we see that he came as a, and those three wise men, we don't know how many they were that came at Christmas or after Christmas. We celebrate Christmas after his birth. We see those wise men came and they brought three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And every one of them represented a characteristic of Jesus as prophet, as priest, as king. Each of those had a significant impact on his character and who he was. But he was more than a prophet. He came not to just prophesy, but he came, according to the scripture, to fulfill every prophecy that was ever wrote about him. Every prophecy, and he did. Yes, he was a prophet because he tells us about him coming again. He's coming to rapture the church out of this world, and he's coming again to this world to set up his kingdom and his rule and his reign. But he was more than a prophet, more than a prophet. Then they said that he was something like a savior, and that's what the term deliver means there in verses 18 through 27. We won't read all those, but look at me in verse 18. It says, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. We see that they could not believe who he was. Therefore, his parents said in verse 23, he is of age, ask him. Then again, they called the man that was blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Yes, Jesus came as a Savior. The term a Savior also means deliver. That's exactly what Jesus was. He was a deliverer. He delivered you and I from the penalty and the plight of our sin, and he made possible for us salvation, and he was a deliverer. The Bible teaches us and tells us that he came for that purpose, is to deliver, and that's exactly what he did. Not only as we see him as he moved through the Gospels and through the time, those 3.5 years of his ministry, we see him bringing deliverance to individuals that had problems and had needs in their life. There are several examples we could pull some from, but he delivered them out of their problem, out of the plight of their life. And the thing about it is, that was just a sign speaking of how he came to relieve the oppression of sin and the problem of sin for those who would respond to him, those who would trust him, those who would come to know him. But there's another statement that's made here, the sixth one, and that is, as being of God, as being of God. Look in verse 28 through 34. It says, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Did you catch that? Of God. And that's exactly how they looked at him. The man that was healed recognized that he was the messenger. He was the Son of God. He was the one who come to bring about the very will and the purpose of God. And let me tell you something. Jesus did exactly that. He made known the will and the purpose of God. And that was the very love of God demonstrated in the person of Jesus Christ, that mankind could know and understand and recognize that God so loved them. We read that so haphazardly. We quote it so haphazardly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But let me tell you something. The emphasis is on the love that God had, the depth of that love, that he would allow his Son Jesus Christ to come into this sinful, wicked world and move among men that despised and hated him and done everything they could to discredit him. And yet he loved them. He demonstrated, continually demonstrating the love that God has for lost humanity. You know, sometimes I get to thinking about it, and it just baffles and blows my mind. How could God love someone like me? I do not understand it. My little pea brain mind, I don't have enough faculty to figure it out, and I thank God that I don't. Because you know what? We're to accept it on F-A-I-T-H, that love that he has for us. We can't figure it out, and that's the problem with so many people. They want something that you can pour in a test tube, you know, and you can prove it out. But it's not something of proof. It's something that you believe, and then God performs. He makes it known, and he makes it a reality in our life. I don't understand it, but I thank God that I know that he loved me. I know that he died for me. He was willing to give himself for me. I can't explain it, but I know that he did, and I thank God for it. But there's another aspect to this, and that was he was the Son of God, the very Son of God. In Mark's gospel, he time and time relates to him as the Son of Man and the Son of God. Here it talks about him as the Son of God, and that's exactly what he was. He came for the purpose to bring God to man and also to bring man to God. Son of God, Son of Man. So that man, in their condition, in their situation, if you please, that he could rightly relate man to God and rightly relate God to man. And I think Jesus fulfilled that, did he not? He brought about what you and I needed from the very heart of God. He made known unto us the very will and the purpose of God so that we could recognize and we could grasp the reality of that and know all that God has for us. The problem then was still the problem today, and that was those people, how they looked at Jesus. How do you see Jesus today? Do you see him just as a man, a mere man? Do you see him just as a healer or a helper? Do you see him as a sinner, as they did, those religious leaders? Do you see him as a prophet, as a savior, or just being of God? Or do you see him as the Son of God and your Savior? See, that's the question. I think that as we look later on this passage, we see that Jesus related himself or revealed himself fully to this man because of the circumstance and situation. I that speaketh to them, he talked about him being as, look with me just a moment. Look in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. See, that's what religion does. Instead of bringing people in, it casts people out, sets them further away from God. And when they had found him, or when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see might not see, or see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. What is Jesus saying there? Jesus was saying those religious leaders, they think they see. And it goes on in further in the scripture, it points that out, that they think they see and they're blind. The Pharisees, the scribes, those religious leaders, they think they see the way of God clearly, but they do not see because they're blind. Blind to the fact of who Jesus really, really was. Go back to the statement there in verse 25, closing. Verse 24, let's just go to verse 24. It says, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. There's a song that was wrote several years ago. It goes along with the amazing, it goes like this. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And my friend, that's exactly what he done and what he will do and wants to do in your life tonight. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for that amazing, abundant, eternal grace. The grace of God that was made known to us through the very life of Jesus Christ, his Son. And Lord, I do not know hearts here tonight, but I know you do. And you know exactly how we see the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we see him tonight? If a person's here and they do not know him and see him as their Savior, I pray that even now, right now, that the Holy Spirit of God will convict them of their need to see Jesus, giving his life as a ransom for their sin so that they could be saved eternally tonight. I pray, Lord, that if there's a person here that does not recognize the Lord of life and the Lord of glory, that this would be a night they'd square off with him and allow him to be Lord. Father, whatever decision needs to be made here tonight, I pray that through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, that you would aid and you would assist and encourage that individual to respond to you as we come to this part of the service tonight, as we look to you for what you are going to do. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' strong name and for his sake alone. Amen. Hymn of invitation.